We are up to Perek Yud Beis. We are up to, let us start with Pasuk Lamed Hey, Ubnei HaKohanim. We are continuing our discussion of describing the Chanukah of the Chumas Yerushalayim, the inauguration, the sanctification, dedication, however you want to translate the word Chanukah, Chumas Hashem, relative to Yerushalayim, but it wasn't just the wall, according to Rashi, and many Mefarshim, was more of a sanctification of the entire city. And now we learned last week about the first procession. The first procession went to sanctify the southern part of the city, and it was sanctified through Ezra. Ezra was in the lead, followed by the Kohanim. We had a difference. The Bezdin, really, first according to the Gemara, came the Bezdin. Then came Kol Yisrael, which included the Kohanim and the Levim and the Mesherim. And here we have in Pasuk Lamed Hey a description of who were the people from the Kohanim, the distinguished members of the Kohanim, leaders of the Kohanim, who participated in this procession on the southern side that sanctified the southern side of the wall. And also it's going to tell us exactly the different breakpoints, the different parts of the wall where they stopped, the different gates, which were all mentioned in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is where we learned about the building of the wall, and where Nehemiah assigned different families, different distinguished leaders or families to build a section of the wall, and many of those sections are mentioned here in these next few pasukim. So, par pasuk lamed hehei, and bnei hakohanim b'chad tzaitzreis, and kohanim who were following behind with their trumpets. Who were they? Zechariah ben Yonasan, ben Shemaiah, ben Matanya, ben Michoya, ben Zakur, ben Asaf. Okay, that's quite a yichus brief. Going all the way back to Asaf. Who was Asaf? Well, it's a little possible. This was one person. He was a big yichus. What? Lizmar Lassaf. So obviously we're not listing every single mention this before. We're not mentioning every single person in the family tree, because there were many more than just the names listed over here. Going back, Asaf lived the time of David HaMelech. He was a contemporary, it appears, of David. David assigned him to be in charge of all the musical instruments. There was no Mikdash in the time of David. There was still only a Mishkan. But David appears to have lived the same time as Asaf. And here we have Zechariah, Yonasan, Shemaiah, Matanya, Michoya, Zakur, Ben Asaf, seven generations. There were many more than seven generations back from the time of Asaf, and now the time of the Bais Sheni. So obviously we're just listing the famous families, the well-known branches of the family, but there certainly were more. Who else participated in this procession, together with Ezra, blowing trumpets? Ve'echav, his brethren. Who were his brethren? He were not going to give their yichus, we're just going to give their first names. Shemaiah, Ve'azarel, Mi Lalai, Gi Lalai, Noai, Nisanel, the Yehuda, Hanoni, a whole list of peoples. How many is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. Bechle Shir David Ishulokim, a very interesting expression. Who else is being described here? They were carrying the clay shear, these eight people, musical instruments of each of David, Ishu Elohim. We're describing David here as a man of God. I don't know the significance of why we describe David as Ishu Elohim more than Eved Hashem, more than just David HaMelech. Why do we describe him as Ishu Elohim? I don't know, but obviously there must be something very significant here. The Ezra HaSofer Lifnim, Ezra HaSofer took the lead. Okay, so this, we have to really read all the psukim backwards. We tried to say a drush last week that the real procession was Ezra HaSofer. He was in the very, very front. And then came the Sori. We tried to translate, we tried to suggest that when it says Sori Yehuda, it refers to the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin. So they followed behind. At first was the Toidus one was the lead, and then after the Toidus was Ezra, and after Ezra came the Sorei Yehuda, which we are assuming others, the Sanhedrin. then came the leaders of the people, and then came the Kohanim and the Levim. The Kohanim, there were Kohanim that played trumpets, and there were Kohanim that played musical instruments. Some want to suggest that since it says here, Bechlei Shir David Ish Olakim, these were the actual musical instruments that David HaMelech played with his own hands. His harp, his flute, his violin, whatever musical instruments it was, they were preserved. That's quite a feat. That's quite a chiddush to say such a thing, that they were able to preserve those musical instruments for how many years? 500 years, more. More than 500 years since the time of David HaMelech, almost 600 years. David HaMelech's actual, because it could have passed away like today. I mean, today we have things that, museums have things that are easily 1,000 years old. But at this point in time, and with the Nisgalos, and they were taken away. They were taken away by the Babylonians, and then the Moda and Paras. So, and they were given back by Nebuchadnezzar. Some things were Achashverosh, Tayodesh. Okay, so it's a chiddush to say that they want to suggest that they actually had in their possession at this point in time, and it's handed down to them through Golas for 500 years, the actual used instruments, and that was what was being played by these eight Kohanim, or they led others playing these musical instruments as they marched. And as they marched around the southern side of the city. Now, what's interesting, it's important to note, is that besides this eighth, in Pasuk Lamed Vav, we play the musical instruments, in Pasuk Lamed Hey, we learn about just one Kohen. It says, it's not only one Kohen, but we have Zechariah, Ben Yehonasan, this person was Miyachis to Asaf, and he was playing the trumpet, the Chatzotres. The Chatzotres is not necessarily a musical instrument, it's like a shofar. And it was blown at times of celebrations. V'yom simchaschem v'mo adeichem. What's the passage? V'yom simchaschem adeichem v'rosh hachashchem v'sikatem v'chatzotzros al eloiseichem v'al zifei shalmeichem. You shall blow your trumpets at the time of when you offer your eloise. Yeah.
If you go back to you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Perik Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Zeh Matanya ben Micha ben Zavadi ben Asa Rosh Al Rosh Chatechil Yehode L'Tfila.
So,
Umin Alevim. And the same person?
Yeah, exactly the same person.
Umin Alevim Chatzos Zavud Zecharia. The Echav Shemai. Wait, so which person is which person? Okay, I say ben Matanya. Okay, Ben Asa. So it's in the middle. It's like the middle of the Yichus brief, because here it's Zechariah ben Yonasan ben Shmaya ben Matani ben Michoya ben Zakur ben Asa. Here it's Matani ben Micha ben Zav ben Zavdi. It appears that's a different person, because it's discussing this current moment of time, and his name is Matanya. Then Micha, okay, here it's Michoya. And this is part of the Levim, and these are part of the Kohanim. Okay, you're right, so I don't know, so somehow the family branched off. The family branched off, they were different. Yeah, the names can be repeated. Right, the names are repeated.
But here it says Shmaya ben Matanyahu, different father.
Okay. Matanya ben Micha ben Zavdi ben Asaf. Okay, I don't know. It appears that it would simply appear that the time here is the same time, and you mentioned over here different names. Simply, we have to say that these are different people. Just they were the very popular names. Here it's Michoya. Here it's Micho. Ben Zavdi. Here it's Zakur. That's a totally different name. It's
saying that they skipped generation.
They went back to Asaf. Okay, so that's not necessarily a problem. Asaf was a Levi, right? He was from the singers.
The first
Asaf. Yeah. And then here the Kohanim. Okay, I don't know the answer. That somehow the family of the there was some type of intermarriage, some type of breaking off of the family where Asaf, his descendants were both Kohanim and Levim. Okay, I don't know. I don't know the answer. Very good point. But one thing I want to point out is over here, this discussed in detail by the Farshim, the Pasuk Lamed Hey discussed the Kohanim blowing the trumpets. And the problem is, the only time you're allowed to blow the trumpets, these trumpets were clay kodesh. They were instruments that belong to the Beis HaMikdash, and you only can use them when the Torah tells you to do so, which was when? At the time when you bring on Yom Tov. Whatever the pasuk says, all different mo'adim, when you bring the shalmei, you bring shlomim that accompany for the musafim or for the various korbanos of the day, that is when you blow the trumpet. So here, why are they blowing trumpets? So you have to say this was Heiro Asha. This was a special tkufa. They are sanctifying Yerushalayim. They are Nevi'im present. Everything that's been done here has been done by Heiro Asha. It's part of the process of blowing the trumpets, which were normally only blown when korbanos were offered on Yom Tov or Shchodesh and the various mo'adim. In addition to that, they also played with the clay shear. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Now it describes to us exactly the stops, where they went. And these names, we're not familiar with these places today, but these were different places along the southern side of the city. The Al Shar Ha'ayin. We learned before that they went to the Shar HaTzom. The only thing we mentioned before in the beginning of this pasuk is they stood L'Shar M'Shar L'Shar Ha'ashpas. The only gate that we mentioned above so far is they began their procession along the west side of the city, and they made a right. They made a right towards the south, and they stopped off by the Shar Ha'ashpas. Now we're learning part of the procession. They're going further. The Al and Tua were above along the side of Shar Ha'ayin. The Negdom and opposite them, Olu Al Ma'alois Ir David. And opposite them, opposite this procession, they continued, or opposite the gate. It's not clear, v'negdom, what it means here, v'negdom, opposite. Rashi here says, the Mitzvah says, v'neged atzman shel haholchem. Opposite the people means they went forward. It's an unusual form of the word. They continued to proceed in front of them, although they ascended, al ma'alois ir David, the ascent of Ir David, b'ma'ale l'chayma, along the ascent of the wall. So we know that Ir David indeed is on the southern side of Yerushalayim today. Me'al l'beis David, above the place, the house of David, David's home, David's palace was located. David was living, of course, 500 years later, but it means that same way, even today, it's called Ir David. That section of beis David is there along the south. V'yad Shar Hamayim, and until the gate of Hamayim Mizrach, which was on the east side of, they marched along the entire southern side, from west to east, until they came to the Shar Hamayim, which is located on the eastern side of the Yerushalayim. They had tfans. That concludes pretty much until Pasuk Lamed Hey, the first procession, Pasuk Lamed Ches, and now we describe the second procession that was led by Nechemya. The Hatoido Hashenis, the second procession with the Korban Toido. Hahilechas. Now here's an unusual word. Lemol. What does lemol mean? Lemol means opposite. Opposite. Lemol, like lemol. The opposite side. This second procession was parallel to the procession of Ezra. Ezra was on the south. Nehemiah was on the north. They marched opposite each other along the southern wall and the northern wall. So here we have this. Here we have this second procession. Atoyda Hashenis, Ha'ilechas Limol, opposite the other procession. Va'ani Achareha. So here, along Nehemiah says, I was behind it. V'chatzi ha'om me'al l'chayma. Half of the people were above the wall. Me'al, above, l'migdal hatanurim. That was the name of the wall. V'yad ha'chayma ha'ruchava. Until the chayma of this area called the chayma ha'ruchava, it was a section of the wall which was called the wide section. Seemingly it was thicker than the other sections, or maybe its expanse, its distance, until you came to a gate. There was a very large area that was of solid wall until you came to a gate. So for whatever reason, it was called Hachoyma Horichava, either in thickness or in length. What is very interesting here to take note of is that this second procession, Nehemiah walked in the back. Well, at least that's what it says. In the first procession, it's very clear, the Ezra Pasuk Lamed Vav, the Ezra HaSoifer Lifnehem.
Saint Zeresh HaNechemia did not want to make himself an equal to Ezra. It's a fascinating idea, the Derech Eretz that Nehemiah had for Ezra. There were two leaders at this point in time. There was a spiritual leader, Ezra HaSofer, and there was the political leader, Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, let's not make any mistake about it, Nehemiah's level of spirituality was probably far, far beyond anything you can possibly imagine. Let me go, how do we have today? Okay, we're going to talk about Nehemiah, some of the people who wrote part of the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh. But relative to Ezra HaSofer, Nehemiah was considered to be a political leader. Fascinating. And Nehemiah knew his place, and when he led his procession, I'm not going to make believe I'm an Ezra, and stand in the front, and go in front of the people, I'll go right in front, and then there will be the Bezdin and the Sarim. I'm going to go in the back. I'm the political, I'm just a politician. I'm going to go in the back. This is a holy, this is a religious event to sanctify Yerushalayim with Kedusha. I'm walking in the back. So that's a very important...
Low key,
he knew his place. That's for the biggest mistake in life, is to know your place. Don't krich where you don't belong. And that's a very great merit to the credit of Nehemiah. I walked behind them. We have different sections of the law which we're now aware of. We're not familiar with these sections, but these are different sections. Pasuk Lamites. Shar Ephraim. There was a gate along the northern side of the wall called Shar Ephraim. I don't think we're now familiar with this today. V'ad Shar Hayishana. There was another gate called the Old Gate. V'al Nabah. V'al Shar Hayishana. V'al Shar Hadogim. Okay, the Fish Gate. We have a fish gate today? I don't think so. Umigdal Hananel and the tower. There were a lot of towers. Hananel, Umigdal Hanea, the tower of Nea, the Achar Hatzon, the gate of the Tzon, the Amundu, and finally they came after they went all the way around the northern side. Where did they stop? The Achar, the Amundu Bishar Hamatra, or we call it the police station. Wherever you go to the Eretz Yisrael, there's a police station, Baruch Hashem, and as always uses a siman. Meet me outside the police station. Go to the coastal and meet me by the police station. Go over here in Yerushalayim. That's a very popular landmark to know. And here also, that's what it was called, the Matara. Matara means it was a prison. Matara, a place where people were put away. They were guarded, people who they had suspicions about. Hamatara. And that now this matra is the only place that's not mentioned in Perek Gimel. All the different landmarks, sections of the wall are mentioned in Perek Gimel when they were assigned different families for construction. But the Shar HaMatra is not mentioned. And I think someone has said that it's the same. There is one other thing, I don't remember exactly what it was. There is one section there in Perek Gimel which it does correspond to. Maybe I could find it very quickly at the end. Let's see, towards the end of Perek Gimel. No, I can't find it at this moment. I maybe we'll find it in the Rashi and Mefarshim. But this is something which is not explicitly mentioned. Okay, so Matra means the place to guard. Okay, let's go Pasig Mem. So remember, they marched around the southern side, the northern side. They came all the way up to the east. The east is the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, and then they marched into the Beis HaMikdash. They then marched into the Beis HaMikdash, the two Toldos were entered. Va'ani, and here Nehemiah says, I, V'chatzi HaSigonim, I mean half of the leaders were with me. Similarly, this means that the other half of the leaders were with Ezra. V'hakoyhanim, now what about who were the Kohanim that were present? Eliakim. Now this is very important, which means that who was the Kohen Gadol during this period of time? Eliakim. Eliakim was the second Kohen Gadol of the Bai Yesheni. The first Kohen Gadol we know was Yeshua. The second was Eliakim. The third was Eliashiv. And here we have mentioned the Hakayanim, who the Kohanim, Eliakim, he was the Kohen Gadol. Then we have other leaders of the Kohanim, which included Maaseya, Minyamin, Michoya, El Yoenai, Zechariah, Hananya, they were blowing b'chatzotros, they were blowing the trumpets when we came into the Beis HaMikdash, as we mentioned before, uv'yom simchaschem uv'rosh chosheichem u'sekatim b'chatzotros al olosechem yal zivchei shalmeichem. And here was a heroic shah that the trumpets again should be blown in order to celebrate this great event. Next pasuk, Memezu ma'aseya u'shmaya v'elazar v'uzi v'hoichonon u'malkia v'elam v'ozer. They also were present. That they were Levim. It seems that they were Levim. These people. What did they do? Vayashmiu hamishayrim, and the singers brought forth song. It would appear these were. It doesn't say their names explicitly, but it appears that these were the Levim, because they were called the Mishayrim. They gave forth song. The Yizrachio hapokit, and Yizrachio, he was in charge. He was the conductor of this group of Levim that sang songs as they arrived in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's see the Rashi's before we go further. This pretty much concludes the procession of along the south and the north of Yerushalayim coming into the Beis HaMikdash. We started today with Pasuk Lamed Hey. Pasuk Lamed Hey, there is no Lamed, it's Lamed Vav, Echav, Chaverav Shal Zechariah HaKoyen, who are the brothers of Zechariah HaKoyen. In addition to the Zechariah who blew the trumpet, we also have that whole long list of people. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, V'al Shar Ha'ayin, Lifnei Shayin Halchu Sivo Sa'ir. So this pasuk describes going along the side of the city. This was in reference to the first procession, the procession of Ezra, where they traveled. They traveled along Shar Ha'ayin. Negdam Alu, V'lifneim Alu. The word Negdam means they went forward. They proceeded forward. To the ascent of Ir David. Ir David, Yerushalayim, went up on a hill. You look on different height. It ascended high. That part of the city, the southern eastern part of the city where Ir David went up high. There were a lot of steps going up in that area. Those steps or that ascent served as some type of wall. Then we have the other procession on the left, which is the northern side, which was led or guided by Nehemiah. Ha'olechas l'mul, toida acheres shoysen chenis l'chaverto, hoysa ha'olechas neged chaverto, b'shove, v'loi zu achar zu. They went opposite, they were parallel to one another. It was on the northern side, opposite the one on the southern side. V'ani achareha. So we mentioned, I went behind the toida. So this is not what I told you. See, I didn't pay attention to Rashi. What I'm saying is not necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily wrong. Not chashom, the ikur is Rashi, but I think there is some homiletic interpretation. You have to really be mine into the pasuk. But here Rashi learns very simple. I went behind the carbon toida, which seemingly Ezra also did. Ezra also went behind the carbon toida. Ezra went behind the carbon toida, and then after Ezra followed all of the Bezdin, the Sarin, and the Yisraelim, and the Kohanim, and the Levim, playing the trumpets, and playing the musical instruments, so on and so forth. Here when it describes Nehemiah went behind, and he went behind, meaning simply behind the carbon toida. Now that does not take away from the drush that I told you before, because there are many nuances of interpretation in the pasuk. The fact is, you can't deny the fact when the Torah describes Ezra, where was Ezra standing? Ezra was standing the Ezra HaSofer Lifnehem. And when it describes Nehemiah, the only place where it describes Nehemiah, his words was Vani Achareihem. So it may very well be true that they're in position, they're in the same location, but the fact that the way the pasuk describes their position relative to the entire procession with the words, Ezra was in front and Nehemiah was in the back, also adds some flavor to understanding that Nehemiah took a second, a back seat. He happened to march in the front because, you know, you have to march in the front after the carbon toda, but the way he conducted himself relative to Ezra was, Ezra is the Gadol Hadar, he is the Sofer Mohir, I'm just a political leader, and therefore I'm not going to make more out of myself than I should in the presence of Ezra. So let's go further. Pasuk Lamed Tes.
Where are they going to
They went to the Beis HaMikdash. They stood. They walked right in. They walked right into the Beis HaMikdash.
You went from the south.
They walked around. Here, let me show you. Here, make believe. Here, make
east.
Make believe this sefer is the Beis HaMikdash. This is the east part of the city.
Right.
The whole table is the city. This is the west part of the city. They started in the west. They stood over here. Ezra and his procession, they made a right. They made a right along this part of the wall, and then they proceeded along the southern wall. They came all the way up to the east wall, to the center, and then they came in. They came down into the Beis HaMikdash. Nehemiah went to the left. He went along the north, all the way up, came to the east. He then made a right, came to the center of the wall, and then came in. So they met. They went around the city like this.
Keneged has only been the north and south.
Correct. That was correct.
Not east north.
Right. When they went, they came into each other. They came, they met. They came back into the city itself. Correct. So let's finish up the Rashi. Zoram Dusham. I stood the Shem Hayom Dim Shlolech Yosdir. I stood there. We should not go any further. When once we came to the Beis HaMikdash, we stood there together. When we reached the Beis HaMikdash, Pasuk Ramites. We stood b'shah hamatra. We waited for everyone. We waited, I guess, for the upper session to arrive. And we all came together. Pasuk mem, and now they came into the Beis Hamidrash. The Shtei Toidos shenasu lohem oisam lebeis Hamidrash. Now, when we arrived in b'shah hamatra, Nehemiah on his side and Ezra was on the opposite side. We now together entered into the Beis Hamidrash with the carbon toida. Each one was carrying the carbon toida, the chametz spreads of the carbon toida, as we discussed last week, the chatzaitres. And as we entered, the kohanim blew the trumpets. Hayu toigim mitoich simchas, and they blew the trumpets due to their simcha. Okay, pasuk mem. Let's see the mitzudos. Then we'll discuss one important thing. Pasuk lamed hey in the mitzudos bechatzaitres. Holech bechatzaitres. Hayu zechariah. Who led the trumpets? Zechariah, Lamed Vav, the Echav, Shal Zechariah, Bechol Klei Shir, Holchu Bechol Klei Shir, Shal David. David's Kalim. Either it means literally David's Kalim, which some of us want to suggest that it's the case, or it means the Kalim which David arranged. David arranged that when you sing this particular Mizmar, you shall use these musical instruments. And when you play this Mizmar, you shall use different musical instruments. He arranged what should be used for which Mizmar. Pasik Lamed Vav, with the procession of Ezra. They went first for Ashbos, which Ashbos went to Sha'ayin, the Negam, Neged Atzam, Shel HaHochim. They marched forward. Where do they march? They marched along the Malois Beis David, the ascent of David. The Malo Lachayma, Bederech HaMalo Ha'ila Alachayma, along this ascent which went upon the wall, Me'al Misham HaHochim, Alofei Beis David, V'yad Shahamayim Ha'im Eilu Mishchon. After that, they went from in front of Beis David, further east, until they reached the Shar HaMayim, which it stood in the extreme east part of the wall. Pasuk Lamed Ches, Yatoide Hashenis, and corresponding to the procession of Ezra, we have the procession of Nehemiah. That was the Toide Hashenis. Rotzalaymer Afnasu Eso Elechem Hashenis. They carried a second set of bread. We discussed last week, there's a difference in the commentators. Do they carry two breads, or do they carry five breads? When it says, in the past, there were Shtei Toides, does that mean literally two loaves of bread? Or does it mean there were two processions, each one was carrying bread? How much bread, each one carried five loaves of chametz bread. The Malbim says it was five loaves apiece. Holchos lemul. What does it mean lemul? Asher holchem mul neged halechem harishayna. B'shavela ze eitzel ze. The procession, they went opposite each other. They one did not go rabbi. Same as chanel levrocha nechel gubadavar. They disagree concerning this matter. What they disagree, and I think what they mean is there were two. The Gemara explains that it's not clear. I'm not really clear what it means exactly. But while they walked, even each procession, there were two. Let's assume there were two loaves of bread. There were two loaves of chametz bread. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the two loaves of chametz bread marched one in front of the other, or the two kohanim carrying the bread, they marched opposite each other? According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, what it means here is that we have the procession of Ezra on one side, and the procession of Nehemiah on the other side, and they can probably see each other. The city wasn't all that big. This is an ancient city, was very much smaller, and they can see each other as they march opposite each other. Other Farshim know, when we say Zelum Azeh, it doesn't mean Ezra Kineged Nehemiah. Ezra's procession alone, there were two rows. There was the inner row and the outer row. Because there were two loaves of bread. Similarly, according to Rashi, there were two loaves of bread. So the two loaves of bread, as they marched one opposite of the not one bread in front of the other bread. Then what happened to the two bread? So the Gemara says one bread was burnt and one bread was eaten. Even though normally you don't burn the lachmei todah, the lachmei todah are eaten. But in this instance, this is a chayra asha, one of the lachmei todah should be burnt and one of the lachmei todah was eaten. Why? Chayra asha al pi hanavi. And then the Gemara goes on to a discussion, what's going to be lasalavo in future generations, when the Beis Din wants to sanctify, wants to enlarge Yerushalayim, and you can eat in Yerushalayim shkochim, and you can eat Ma'aser Sheni, and you want to sanctify the city, do we follow the same rules that we have two todos, we have the two rows, and the outer one of them is burnt, one is eaten? The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. This, that the two, they march side by side, each procession, the two loaves of bread of chametz, and one was burnt, one was eaten, was a hayrah shah only for this time. But in every generation there will be a hayrah shah if the bread should be eaten or the bread should be burnt, how it's going to work. These are very big mysteries in the Kiddush on how you sanctify Yerushalayim. Okay, let's finish up the mitzvahs here. Vani achareha. So here along comes Nehemiah. I was behind. Vani alachti achar halechem hahi mitzad shaholcha mitzad mehatzad shaholcha hi. Ve'imi holchu chatzi ha'am. So he looks like Rashi. I was behind it, behind the bread. I stood right behind the bread, and the people were with me. Half of the people went with me and the other half went with Ezra. We then marched forward to the towers. Notice there are many towers on the southern side of the city.
They were lookouts,
exactly.
There
were towers. On the southern side we don't find towers. There's no mention of towers. On the southern side we just find gates and we find this Ir David. On the northern side is where we find all of the towers. I guess there was a threat. The threat was more from the north than it was from the south. Many people want to say that today, that the Alaska, the mosque, today the higher, that's not that, that was a tower. That was one of, that was, they built a very, it was knocked out of course, but that used to be a tower to look out. Anyone was coming, was not necessarily today. They tell you go on tunnel tours. We mentioned many times, tell you this is the Evin Shasiyah and this is the place of the Mizbech or the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Many modern scientists and archaeologists disagree. That's not the Dome of the Rock. That's not the Evin Shasiyah. Evin Shasiyah, we don't know where it is. That has to be somewhere buried much more towards the left, towards the south. And that the Dome of the Rock was a tower. It was a nigel that was used as a lookout place for any enemies. It was like the police station, basically, of the Temple Mount. On the Temple Mount, there were people, lookouts, and it was a center where security, it was the security headquarters for the entire Temple Mount. That is one approach to understand what that, and it fits well, because that's the northern part. That indeed, traditionally, it says here that on the north, you have all of the towers. So it's interesting, on the Temple Mount itself, that's the northern part of the Temple Mount where you have the Dome of the Rock, relative to where the Mikdash was, the actual Mikdash, which was more to the southern side of Har Habayis and Yerushalayim.
The Dome of the Rock is the Mosque of Omar.
Yeah.
The Al-Aqsa Mosque is on the southwestern corner.
It's a different mosque.
It was built on what the place was called Medrash Shlomo, where they say he wrote Shir HaShirim and those things.
Interesting. Okay. There are two different mosques. Okay. Let's go further.
Was this procession done again later on as they added?
Yes. It was done later, definitely. I don't know if we have a detailed history, but it has to be that the different periods in time during the time of the Ba'al Sheni, when they expanded the city, which we know for sure they did, especially during Hurdis, and they expanded the Azara, It's a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. Yes, they did indeed have to repeat this procession. This was the prototype. This was the model of how it was done, and this gave sanctity to the center. As they expanded, they gave sanctity to other areas that were expanded. But this was definitely the first time, and it was done even before by the time of David in the Bayis Rishon. We have no record of that in Tanakh. But here it's telling us how it was done at this point in time.
All the areas that are now added,
yeah,
won't we have to wait for the Bayis Shlishi?
That's correct.
So we can go. And
that is correct. In order to give it Kedusha, in order to give it Kedusha for the halachas of Yerushalayim, not necessarily for the Kedusha. Every area of halacha has its set of rules. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, has its set of rules. When it comes to Sekhar D'Yoma, has its set of rules. Every Mitzvah, section of Halacha, has different set of rules. The Kedusha that we're talking here is needed for eating Maaser Sheni and eating Kachin. It's very limited. And those Halachas are not relative today to us because we don't eat Maaser Sheni today and we don't need Kachin today. So it doesn't really make a difference to us today. So this that we expand Yerushalayim, indeed, it does have the din of Yerushalayim with regard to the laws, let's say, of Mikra Megillah. You lepur, you celebrate Purim not on the 14th day, we celebrate Purim on the 15th day. Even sections of Yerushalayim that were not originally part of the ancient Yerushalayim. So let's go further. So now we have the second title, which is going, he went behind, Me'al Migdol, Mishar Mayim Holo Milfne Migdol, Pasik Lamites, V'yamdu, Shemamdu V'lohochu Od Yoser. We arrived there, the Shar HaMaterah, at the prison, and we waited. Bat HaMod, Ve'hevilu Lach Metodah, they brought the Lach Metodah, Ve'midu B'Beis Hashem. We then took the Lach Metodah, and we entered the Beis HaMikdash, V'ani Achareyem, I followed behind, V'chatzi HaSagonim Holchu Imi, half the leaders went with me. Who were the other half? Seemingly they went with Ezra. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. It's very strange. The pasuk only records Nehemiah entering, does not record Ezra entering. I do not know why. It's a mystery. Mem Aleph. Bechatzoitzros. They then blew the trumpets. Taku bechatzoitzros. As they entered, they blew the trumpets. Okay, and then they began to sing pasuk Mem Beis. Vayashmiu Kain Shemish. So here he says, not like I told you. Say the person. And go back. Ve'uzi, v'hoichonon, umalkiyah, v'elam, v'ozer. Vayashmiu, what a name! Okay, what a name! It's very hard. It's a very strange shot because the trump certainly doesn't fit. Va'ozer is an esnachta. That's the end. Vayashmiu is a pashta which leads into the munach zokev katan hamashayrim. You would say it's simply vayashmiu hamashayrim. That's the trump. But we know that the trump, the tamim in the ksuvim, is very weak, and the mitzudos is saying something which is really a little bit different. He's saying Vayashmiu is the name of a person. Then we have a comma, Hamishayrim, Hema Hoyu Hamishayrim, Uvogam Hema El Beis Hashem. They entered the Beis Hashem L'shayrer V'imoyim. With them was this person Yizrachya. He was a famous person. Yizrachya Hamamun Elim. He was in charge. Now, before we go further, there's a very important Medrash Tehillim. The Medrash says Vatamodna Shtei Atodos. Back in Pasuk Mem, because I had to look at the Pasuk again for this Medrash, V'atamodna shtei hatodos b'veisu Elokim. So the Medrash is disturbed with the word V'atamodna. What's the Tamodna? It should say that there are other expressions to describe the fact that they brought, they carried. V'yissu es hatodos. The word Tamodna, it stood. It's not, if you were writing this pasuk, you would not use the word vatamon. Okay, we can after it's been written, and we become get used to it, and we understand what it means. It was stationed in the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not the way you would initially write the pasuk. You would take them, they took the Todah, and they carry it, they brought it inside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Medrash says, what is this, the deep meaning of the pasuk? I'm going to use the words of Medrash. Lamdenu. Shekol hakarbonos betelos las lavo viatoida eina betela loyla. It's teaching you yisoid that when Mashiach comes, no longer will we offer karbonos. We understand what that means. We shouldn't take it 100% literally. No longer will there be chatoyos, Kolos Shlamim, the only carbon that will be offered in the Bayis Shlishi, or at some point in time, at least according to the Medrash, what this means, again, it's not clear, will be the carbon Toda. That's it. And we know that from this pasuk, Vata Modna, the only one that will remain standing, like the last man remaining standing, the last carbon that will remain standing at the end of days will be the carbon Toda. Shekol ha-karbonos betelos laslavo v'yatoida eina betelo li'olam b'hu shekosev. This is what it says in the pasuk, Vatamodna shtei ha-todos b'beis elokim u'mohen shtei ha-todos. It goes further. Toidas ha-tfila. Why is it Lashon Rabim? Tfila, prayer. V'toidas ha-karbon. A person will offer thanksgiving to Hashem in the form of prayer. That will remain in the Bayis Shlishi. And when you will bring a sacrifice, it will only be in the form of a carbon toda. Amazing medrash. What it means exactly, it's not clear, but that's what it says here in this pasuk. Okay. Yes, a carbon toda can be from any type. Can be a keves, an ace, a par, any type. You can bring a carbon toda, and it's accompanied by 40 breads. 40 breads, 30 matzah, 10 chametz. Each of the 30 breads, the matzahs are three times the size of the chametz, exactly like it says in the Torah. And you have one day and one night until chatzos to eat it, short period of time. It's kodesh kalim, and it's eating the entire Yerushalayim. And that will be the only carbon that will be offered when Mashiach comes, according to this medrash, based upon the pasuk here in Nehemiah, Vatamodna shtei hatodos, also corresponding to the other toda of tefillah. Now, by the way, this is what they according to we mentioned this last week, Friday. I didn't really find very much to understand the different songs that they sang, and some. It doesn't say anywhere Beferish Megmar, this is the disagreement, but according to some Farshim, the song that they sang when they marched, in addition to what it says, Shir Shol Pegoyim, was Mizmor L'Soda. Mizmor L'Soda, because this is corresponds to the Karbon Toda. And indeed, for that reason, when do we not recite Mizmor L'Soda? Erev Pesach. Why? Erev Pesach, you can allot eat chametz until the fifth hour, because we are afraid that since normally you can eat the chametz normally the entire day plus the night that follows, and Erev Pesach you only can eat until the fifth hour, so you have a short period of time to either you may not be eat it fast enough. So it was decided not to bring the carbon toda. What other day of the year did they not bring carbon toda? We learned this. Erev Yom Kippur, for the same reason, even though you can technically eat it all the way until sunset. But since normally, on a normal circumstance, you get until Chatzos, and Yom Kippur, you cannot eat after sunset until Chatzos, so the Zman Achila has been limited. Therefore, they decided you do not bring a carbon toda. And therefore, we as a Zecher for this, we do not bring a carbon toda, we do not recite Mizmor L'Soda twice a year. Now, the whole Pesach we don't do. We don't say Mizmor L'Soda the entire Pesach. And we don't say, no, Shabbos also is a voluntary carbon. You don't bring voluntary carbon also on Shabbos, so you never bring carbon toda on Shabbos. So we do not say it on Shabbos. We do not say it Erev Pesach. And we do not say it Erev Yom Kippur. And of course, we don't say it on Pesach either, the entire Pesach, because even Chol Hamoed, because it's Chometz. Now, interesting, what does it say? It's fascinating that the Pesukim, what it says here in the Pesukim, really, really fit. If you look at the Pesukim and you understand that this is what, we go look at the dedication of Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim, and you read the Pesukim, they really, it's not just that these Pesukim fit the theme of Toda, the Pesukim really fit into the period of time when they're dedicating the walls of Yerushalayim. Mizmor L'Soda, Ril Hashem Kol Haaretz, it's the entire earth. We have to remember that this is a period of time after Purim. And surely after Purim, the entire earth, Rabim, Me'amei Haaretz Misyahadim. The building of the Beis HaMikdash was the top story in the news. The whole world was paying close attention. So when the Yerushalayim was rededicated, it was a world event. Following Purim, Koresh, the Pekida, after 18, really 34 years since this took place, and then And then with Daryavei, Achashverosh, Daryavei, but the world was after, shortly after the miracle of Purim, where the world came to appreciate Klal Yisrael. Tzariu Hashem Kol Eretz, Ibdu Hashem B'Simcha, obviously with Shem B'Simcha, Bo Lefan B'Nono, Du'uki Hashem Hu Elokim, Hu Asan V'lo Anachnu, Amol B'Tzen Maritzo, we are His chosen nation, Bo She'arav B'Soida, come into His gates, that's exactly what they're doing over here. There's one thing when a person, you say B'Zimul Soda four times, when you have a Rachman, the person is sitting, gets better. Person is in jail, is in prison, and he comes out. We're talking about ancient times, not talking about person was in prison, Shalai Kedin. And then we're talking person travels on the seas, and the fourth time, what's the fourth? Person's ill, he's free from prison. If he travels, is a four? What's the fourth time? Over Hayom, that's traveling. What? Daris, he travels to the desert. Right? He travels to the desert. That's the fourth time. So what does this have to do with anything? Nothing. Person gets is ill, he recovers. So you say, Bosh Arbisoda, you come to his gates with thanksgiving. Okay, so I'm better. I come back to shul. All right. So you have a homiletic interpretation of what it means, but here it's literal. At this point in time, they're actually coming into the gates. That's exactly what they're doing. They're traveling along the walls of Yerushalayim. They're rededicating the walls, and they're going through the gates. They finally arrive at the east, and they come mamish into the gate of the Beis Hamikdash. Bo she'arav b'sod chatzerosa b'sila. They come to the gates. They come into the chatzer, the Azara. They walk into the Eretz Nashim, to the Azara. Hodlo baruch shmo kitov Hashem liolam chasav yador v'dor emunaso. Hashem is for all generations, because this was a plan. They were hoping that this Beis Hamikdash would last them for all generations. This was a new building that they were praying should be with Klal Yisrael v'ador v'odar, for generations. So it's very interesting that if you look at this Mizmar and you connect it to the four standard times when a person says, brings a carbon toda, it doesn't really fit. I mean, you can stretch it. But when you take this Mizmor LeSoda and you recognize that this corresponds, it's related to the building of the walls of Yerushalayim and the dedication of Yerushalayim, it fits like a glove. It fits the time period of the entire world giving permission for Klal Yisrael to rebuild Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So it's not just a celebration for Klal Yisrael, it's a celebration for the entire world, because the world did participate in allowing this to happen. So, if the Haru Hashem Kol Haaretz, the entire world, and if it's perfectly with that we are the chosen nation, and if it's perfectly with this idea of coming into his Sha'arim and his Chatzeros, Besoda, and with the idea of Yador Vador Munoso, which goes both ways, they never really believed that they would be able to come back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We recognize now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the previous generations has carried over even in this generation, even after the Churban, they were able to rebuild, and the prayer was that it should continue with them all the way until the coming of Mashiach. So it's something which I think definitely think is a very significant point to read what it says and connect it to the Mizmar Lesoda. Okay, we only have a few psukim left. We'll have to stop here because we're out of time. And we'll pick this up, Yit Hashem, tomorrow.